Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just worship you. As we go into your word this afternoon, I ask you for fresh mercy and unction from your throne. I recognize it as the word of God, and that in myself, I am but a child. So I ask for fresh mercy, unction, and anointing upon my heart and upon my lips. And as I speak, Lord, you will make me an oracle of God. And let your word flow out of me like a stream of living water. Let it come in power and with clarity. Let it come in simplicity and with the comfort, love, and encouragement of the Holy Spirit. So that an internal work will be established in every heart under the sound of my voice. Our wills, including mine, our wills must submit to your will. Our minds further illuminated with the light of the revelation of God, and our emotions further controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, so that, Father, Lord, our lives will not be the same, but there will be an increase of Christ in us. Your purpose in our lives will be advanced through this ministry of the word in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that under the covering of my fathers, I dock under their covering. Lord, help me to minister as the word, Lord, with power, with simplicity, and with love. And let that word be backed with your power everywhere it goes throughout the earth. Break yokes and open blind eyes and deaf ears, and bring strength to our feet and our ankle bones, helping us to be doers of the things that we hear. And not be hearers only, that will bring forth much fruit, that you will prune, that will bring you pleasure. And indeed, Lord God, our lives will be truly a life of worship that is acceptable and pleasing unto you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because I ask for mercy to be concise and to be precise, and I will redeem the time, not saying unnecessary things, but following the leading of the Holy Spirit expressly, so that, Father, Lord, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, I will bring forth out of the treasure of this world things old and things new, and it will be a blessing to you and to my fathers and also to my brethren. I yield myself to you, Lord. Help me not to speak of myself. Help me to speak to honor you and to honor my fathers. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. It's a great privilege. This afternoon, we're talking about making impact before God. Everybody wants to make an impact. But the question is, where are you making an impact? Is it before men or is it before God? You can call a street after your name. They can call a building after your name. They can call an airport after your name. But what does God call you? This is the impact. You can also call it building a legacy, a godly legacy. You can call it building a godly impact. Whichever way you want to, your name to be etched. The Bible says that Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. That's impact. True impact is in the heavens. You must touch the heavens. Otherwise, your impact is ephemeral. It is fleeting and it will pass away. When you touch heaven, then you have a key to change the earth. And when you put your foot there, it will remain etched in the sands of time. The church of Jesus Christ and all creation is waiting for a generation that is going to make an impact. We are calling the manifestation of the sons of God. Okay? And this generation, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 verse 19, I'm not going to talk, but just look at it, that the whole creation is waiting. Give me verse 21. Verse 21. Waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Okay? Because the creature itself shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. It's actually the sons of God. Amen. So these sons are a glory-carrying, well-trained, efficient, overcoming army with a zero tolerance for failure. That's the army that we're talking about. They don't understand what you mean when it says not possible. What do you mean? work. With God, all things are possible. Bible says, he that overcometh, we will overcome. We are well able. Let us go up at once. It's a generation. And there's an invitation that God has been making. And today he is re-inviting all of us to be a part of them. Look at Joel chapter 2, verse 2 to 3. Quickly, you need to move with me very quickly. All right, a day of darkness. I'm not going to go through all that. It's important to see from this scripture that this army is born in a day of darkness. When everybody else is amazed, I can't find their way around, that's where these ones are arising. Amen. The Bible says, a great people and strong. The Bible says, there have never been the like before. There will never be like again. It's a one in a lifetime generation. I don't know what you are doing with your life, but this is why you are born into the kingdom. To be a part of this generation. Never before, never again. You've seen individuals do this stuff, but this one is a company. It's the multiplier effect is vast. Because there's never been any type like them before. And there will never be again. So it's a once in a lifetime. So remember the invitation. So they are thorough. They are focused. They are one of a kind. Jump to verse 7 and 8. Don't have time. Let's just look at verse 7 and 8. Quickly. Bible says, they shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of all. You can say, there's a wall. Climb it! The Bible says, they'll march everyone on the way. They shall not break their arm. You can see something here. It's the absolute unity of heart and purpose. You know what the unity of heart does? It's so, look at the next verse, verse 8. Neither shall one thrust another because of the unity. They shall walk everyone in his own path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. So you know what? Life is in such abundance because of the unity that death, it comes to pass that saying, death is swallowed up in victory. On this side of heaven, not when we get to heaven, here on the earth. I don't know what you want to do with your life, but this is the part you don't want to miss. Okay? So, this is the company. And everywhere they go, they create impact. Bible says they run like men of war. They climb. They enter in. You can't keep these guys out. When they pray, they will fish you out. Oh, yes. Remember that they are carrying the glory of God. Incredible photographic memory, incredible mathematical skills. So these guys are creative, they are prosperous, but their real strength is in the spirit realm. That's where they're changing everything from. It's in the spirit realm. It's just having an impact in the physical, because you can't be prosperous and not show in the physical. It's not possible. So they are very prosperous in the 10 to the power 9, 10 to the power 12, 10 to the power 15. You know, not this one that we are seeing now. They are unique. They are so rich and yet so humble. So everyday like. People cannot understand. They can't compute how does this kind of person exist. Because they are specially created for a time such as this. It's a special generation. They are a gift to their generation. A special gift, and God is saying, come up, be a part of it. So don't despise God's invitation. Verse 11, God is in charge of this army. And it says, the Lord shall utter his voice. I pray that God will help me, my mouth will be like a trumpet to herald the coming of the king. To utter his voice before his army, for his camp is what? Very great. Great in the spirit, great in the physical. For he is strong that executed his word. They know, once the word of God says it, their job is to do it. Make it come to pass. Become an embodiment. Make the word become flesh. Become an embodiment of the word. Okay? And the Bible says the Lord is very great. And but before the day of the Lord is very great. And who can abide it? Who can abide it? Because of this army, nothing evil can escape. They enforce righteousness. And that's why they bring persecution, like Pastor was saying so beautifully. You know, they are the breaker company. And you see the order in Micah 2:13. You can see the order. Quickly. Micah 2:13. Thank you. The breaker has come up before them. They have broken up. They have passed through the gates. The gates is a place of government, authority. So they are ruling in the spirit realm. That's what it's telling you. they have passed through the gate and are gone out by it, and their king shall pass before them, and the Lord on the head of them. So it's the Lord, the king, and the company. Threefold. And God is saying, come up. This company is the company that impacts the earth. Bible says that they that have turned the world upside down have come here again. They will turn the world the right way up. When they enforce the word of God and they enforce judgment, the people will learn righteousness. Not because they won't learn it, because if they don't learn righteousness, the wrath of God will come down upon them because of the company. You know, when they saw Samuel, they said, comest thou peaceably. So what do you do with 200,000 of that? What do you do with that? What do you have with a million of those kind of people? You bow. That's the impact. That's what God is saying. You know, making an impact. The collective power makes such an impact. Bible says that before them is the Garden of Eden. At the end of it is like a desolate wilderness. Because of the impact that they make. When they come and when they manifest. So God is preparing this army. Amen. And God is calling you and I. They will demonstrate. The Bible talks about four things that are exceedingly wise. They will demonstrate the wisdom of God in four different areas. The conies build their house in the rock. The revelation, like Pastor Brian preached a while ago beautifully. You know, the deep revelation knowledge. Pastor was talking last week about overcoming sin by revelation knowledge. They will operate revelation knowledge in such a vast degree beyond just having revelation. They will use revelation to create things. Okay? They will also demonstrate the understanding of God's times and seasons, which is what the ant does. The ant knows the right time to gather its food, the right time. They will do the right thing at the right time. They know when to go up. Wait! When you hear the sound of the angels in the mulberry trees, that's the time. They understand the time. See, brethren, if you are not grown up spiritually, you cannot really survive effectively. Because everything comes from the spirit realm. Everything is operating from the spirit realm. That is the realm where you are at home. That should be where you live. The Son of Man, which is in heaven. That's where we live. Now we come on earth to do things on earth, but basically our residence, our address is in heaven. Amen. Okay? They also demonstrate the perfect unity of the locusts. They go by bands. And finally, the diligence of the spider. So you see diligence, unity, you see understanding of times and seasons, and deep revelation knowledge. However, within the church, there is another company in the same church that is not part of this. And their testimony is quite different. They are dominated by their flesh. They are dominated by circumstances, even though they are rich. By human standards. They are rich by human standards. But they're not rich by God's standards. Okay? So, they think that they are rich, but the key thing is they are at ease in Zion. Amos chapter 5. This is a warning. Don't be at ease. Because, see, if the devil has you on the run, he's not going to show you any mercy. The tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. You better learn to fight today. And learn to fight and quit yourself as a man or as a woman of God. Amen. Don't expect the devil to serve you a free lunch. Or to have you at his mercy and withhold his hand from giving you a deadly blow. He's not going to do it. Look at the scripture. No, I didn't say Revelations 2:9. I said Amos 5:19. God will have mercy. Amen. Amos 5:19. Thank you. No. Give me the verse before this. Thank you. Woe unto you. Let's read together. It's not your portion in Jesus' name. But let's read together. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. It should be light for you. But it's not light, it's darkness. How come? Next verse. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him. So if you are trying to run away from something, something worse is coming. You better learn to fight. Overcome the lion. David did it. Joseph did it. You have to overcome the lion. Because if you run away, something worse is coming. So what are you running to? Fight! As if a man did from life and a bear met him or went into the house and leaned on the wall and what? A serpent beat him. The devil has no mercy. Verse 20. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light? Even very dark and no brightness in it? When you are walking in the knowledge that only your senses give you, is very dark. But if you take the light of the word of God, the light of life that comes to the world, it will enlighten your darkness. And in that darkness, you will see light. The Bible says, in that light, we see light. So you must understand that this is what is going on. So in a time when they should be arising and shining, for their light has come, they are living in darkness. This will not be your portion in Jesus' name. Amen? But this is happening. Why? Why? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, 4 and 5. Quickly. I'm going to save some time. 2 Timothy 3. Yes, let's read it together. For men shall be what? Lovers of their own selves. That is giving you an introduction of a key characteristic of this generation. Then it goes to mention all the details. Jump to verse 4 and 5. Pastor taught us this so beautifully. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. It's a technical thing. They love God. But they love pleasures more than God. Pastor, you are preaching my message. Proverbs 21 verse 17. Well, it's the Holy Spirit's message. Amen. Alright. He that loveth pleasure shall be a what? Poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. See, if you get caught up with revelation, you will not be spiritually rich. Revelation is good. Anointing is great. But God is all in all. And our love must always be to the God of the revelation, the God of the anointing, the God of the prosperity, the God of the presence, and not those things in themselves. If you let yourself be distracted now, what will happen when the great wealth comes? So we must learn from now to stay focused. Stay on point. Like the 300 of Gideon. Understand that he is unto the Lord. Everything is unto the Lord. My intelligence is unto the Lord. If I'm a senior in my class, my seniority is unto the Lord. If I'm a doctor, my medicine is unto the Lord. If I'm an architect, my engineering and architecture, everything is what? Unto the Lord. Everything's for the Lord. That's what makes this company so great. Everything is unto the Lord. Where is your own glory? I have no glory. There is one that seeketh it. God will seek your glory, and then you seek his glory. That's the way it works. Okay, so that's our one. So you see here that it's their self-indulgence that makes them spiritually poor. Okay, and their pleasures lure them away from God. They are in God's house, but they are not God's people. Friends are like enemies. Enemies that are like friends, really. Okay, friendly foe, strange children, whatever name you want to call them. All right, it's the same thing. All right, look at Luke 12, 42-44. It's very important that you understand. Pastor preached this like 4 weeks ago on a Wednesday. I can't forget. Let's read it together. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Notice that this person has people under him. So, brethren, we are serving God at different levels, though. But the person you're really serving is the Lord, like we said in the Bible study last week. The person you're serving is the Lord. And God is watching. God wants to see what you will do with what he has given you to determine whether he can make you a ruler, a spiritual ruler, spiritual king, spiritual prince, rulers in the heavenly places. You do something physical, you get a spiritual reward. That's where God is going. He wants to give us more than what we deserve. That's where he's going. You know, but if you get also caught up in what you will not understand the purpose. He's telling you this is the purpose. Give me the next verse. Thank you. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall so find doing. You must be doing what the Lord said, not what I want. It's what the Lord said, how the Lord said it, when the Lord said it. It's very important. Verse 44. Of a truth. Now this is your portion. Of a truth, I say unto you that he will make him what? Ruler over all that he hath. That's the spirit without measure. That's inheritance right there. Ruler over all that he has. All that God has is not money. All that God has is the inheritance. Becoming like God. That is the inheritance. With having the mind of Christ and the glory of God. That, where your whole body becomes a channel to release the glory. Ah, the fullness of God. Amen. May that be our portion in Jesus' name. Alright, so this is it. But the question is this. Will you stay faithful to Him? Will you stay faithful to the purpose of God? Will you stay faithful to the training that God is giving you spiritually? There is a training that we need to be able to be part of this army. There is a spiritual training. And you need to stay with it. Some of us, we neglect this great salvation. You know, we pick and choose training modules. I want training module 001, 004, 005. I skip 6, I skip 8, I skip 9. That's not my portion, I skip 10. Pastor Dio was talking this morning about yay. In their mind, somebody already said, yeah, I skip this module. You don't skip this module, you don't enter into the kingdom. You don't enter into the kingdom. You know, so it's an all-encompassing. So it's important to understand that anything you're going through is to make you a ruler. God wants to make us our latter end to greatly increase. This is where He's going. So it's important that we understand what God is saying. And we seek His glory. Use your position to seek God's glory. Use your position to advance the kingdom of God. Use your position to demonstrate honor to those in authority over you. Use your position to bring honor to God and not to yourself. John 8:50 in the Amplified. John 8:50. Thank you. However, this is Jesus speaking. I am not in search of honor for myself. I do not seek and I'm not aiming for my own. Remember the last time we spoke about the president of the African Development Bank? He said that statement. I can't forget it. He said, I do nothing for recognition. He was quoting scripture to them in type. I do nothing for my own recognition. There is one who looks after that. That's his business. That's his department. Face your own department. Let God face His own department. Stop seeking your own glory. Stop advancing your own career. God will advance your career. You use your life to invest and advance His glory. And He will turn back and do you good. In Jesus' name. He seeks my glory and He is the judge. Amen? Fine. So, this is the mistake they make. But God wants to give us a picture. This pastor preached this to us beautifully about the virtuous Christian, Proverbs 31. So I'm just going to hit it quickly from verse 10. I'm just going to pick out verses and just move very quickly. This is God's picture of a true Christian. It is a, you know, pastor has explained this scripture to us. That is not, he's talking about the woman, literal. He's also talking about the woman, the church. He's also talking about a Christian because in the church you have male and female. Of course, we know from Revelation 19 verse 7, the Bible says so, that the bride maketh herself ready. We know from Revelation 5, 6, that the Bible says that the Lamb of God sits, is among the elders in the presence of God. So when it says in verse 10 and 11 where it says that her husband sits in the gates among the elders, really, it's also talking about the fact that Jesus is in the gates and we are the bride of Christ. So really, we are the virtuous woman. That's what he's saying. Now, having established that, we then move on to the next thing to see the different characteristics. Just three that Pastor brought out so beautifully. Look at verse 21, verse 26. Quickly. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet, the blood. She understands covering. This woman understands spiritual things. She's not a spiritual novice at all. As a Christian, to be successful, to have all these things that the Bible talks about, the righteous woman, you cannot be a spiritual novice. You cannot be a spiritually ignorant. Okay? All right? Next, in verse 26. Bible says she opens her mouth with what? Wisdom. And in her tongue is the law of... You can't tame your tongue if you're not spiritual. In fact, the Bible says that if you see a man, that they be a perfect man, he doesn't err in what he says. That's spirituality. Right there. Alright, verse 17 also tells us something. Give us verse 17. She girded her loins with strength and strengthened her arms. It's not talking about just, she's not doing this. Going on. That's not what she's saying. She is spiritually strong. That's what he says. He's a strong Christian with fruit. Evident by being able to control your tongue, understanding covering. Okay, so person is someone that has a heart of humility, so spiritually strong, and of course, person is prosperous. You can look at verse 22, because with spiritual strength always comes prosperity. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is what? Silk and purple. And that's not cheap. That's not easy to come by. It costs a little bit. Amen. So she can afford it. You can see that in verse 31. Bible says, give her of the fruit of her hands. Yes, of the fruit of her hands. And let her own works praise her in the gates. Of all the things she has done, she obviously, because she has invested, she must get back good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. She's not poor. She's very prosperous. It's very important that you understand. So the number one is spiritual strength and prosperity. Okay? Number two is the fact that she's highly industrious and inclusive. Very important. She's an inclusive person. No, there's this spirit of exclusivity in the world that has crept into the church. We are the ones, you are not part of us. We are the ones, you know, so we always sort of draw a line and segregate and separate. Nope, she doesn't do that. Look at verse 14. For consistent hard work. Verse 14. Quickly. She's like merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. You know, she sees things afar off. Pastor Dave mentioned that today. You already know that this is going to be a potentially tricky situation. Either you avoid it and pray and avoid it, or you pray and prepare for it so you can go through it. She brings her fruit from afar. It's not in the situation and circumstance that she's bringing forth fruit. She's already brought at the fourth watch. She already prepared the fruit. I always said the fruit of them that make peace. So you can manufacture peace. You can manufacture righteousness. You cannot say, cook it in the heavens. And then you now serve it and dispense it during the day. Cook it. So she's doing that. You can see she's doing that, bringing her food from afar. Verse 15. She rises at night. You can see these are present tense. Riseth. No, it's not. Rise. While is yet night, giveth. Present tense. It's not once, so it's continuously. She rises while is yet night and gets spiritual food for her household and assigns her maids their tasks. The King James says she does not forget her maidens. So while she's taking care of her household, she also looks around to her maidens. Are you okay? Do you want more? Take, give. She's inclusive. Amen. By the time I'm done, you will see clearly. Verse 16. She creates wealth. She considered the field and buys with her own fruit of hands as she planted the vine. So she's thinking ahead. She's the ideas that come because she's spiritual, you see. So the thoughts, she's thought to thought fellowship with God is so easy. It's not sitting down to plot somebody's downfall so you can take their place. God gives your own direct. It's not until you climb on somebody's neck and remove the ladder that you make it up. You can get up on your own. God will lift you up. Did Joseph have to pull anybody down? Did David have to pull anybody down? It is even if you do it well, it is the people that you think should put you down that will say, it's your time to be lifted up. Amen. I saw something this week, in school. I always ask, God have mercy. One of the children was accused. of having done something, and it was false. And I called everybody and I said, they accuse. I said, boy, but I said, they accuse you of this. And I asked, I said, how many people can attest to this? And people started putting up their hand. Uncle, you can't do it. He cannot do it. Even people that I thought that should be against him said, no, he's not the one that did it. I was amazed. They spoke up for him. His testimony was so clear that even what happened? In the end, everybody else just kept quiet. Because the force of his testimony shone so brightly where are the accusers? We didn't see any accuser. I said, son, whatever you're doing, keep doing it, man. You are on a roll. Amen. And I learned from it that you can have a character that even though they throw something on you, it cannot stick. People will speak up for you. No way. It's very important too. The fruit of righteousness. That's the children under covering are bringing forth fruit. Brother, what about us? Look at our fathers. Is there anything I have mentioned here that you have not seen in our fathers, in our parents? Is it, which one is it? Is it spiritual strength? Is it walking 2 days straight without sleep? And the next day is Sunday and mommy comes and says, I want to share a word. I say, God of heaven, where did God speak to you? I mean, I can hardly stay awake. I mean, we were working together. I was there. Where did God get? Yes. Not once, not twice. You know those, Angela, you know those days now. No, we just walk. It's when the work is finished that we are done. There's no day. There's no night. And my mom says she's going. Next thing I want to hear is that we are finished. There is no buts. No. No excuses. It's training. It's training. Learn not to give excuses. Learn not to give excuses. There is always a way. If you look for it well enough, amongst yourself, you may not have the answer, but around you, the answer is there. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Is training. So we give God glory for our fathers. Amen. And of course, by verse 19, you don't have people that send you and they stay at home. Now, people that lead by example, verse 19, she layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She herself is doing the thing. So you cannot say that, oh, they are using me. Rather, it's a privilege for you to be part of it. Because if we don't do it, God will raise up stones that will do it. Because it's God's work and it has to be done. Amen. So, I mean, I really know. You see the strength in our spiritual parents. You see the industry. And then verse 20, which is the third thing. They go out of their way to show kindness. Verse 20. She doesn't wait for the poor to come and beg her. She stretcheth out her hands to the poor. Before they even think and say, this is what you need. She says, don't you think this would be a good idea? And then now, it's true. I didn't even... See, the root of all of this is the spirituality. You must understand, the root of it is spirituality. When God says, do this, they don't have any agenda of their own. They want to do exactly what God said. So they just do what God said. And then, it's now the yearning of your heart. Now it's, God. It lets you know that truly they are people of God. And I'm waiting for the reward, brethren. I'm waiting for the reward. They have sown and labored in so many places, in so many ways. Is it Living Mercy Boys Orphanage? Is it, what is it that they have not... out of their way is trying to be a blessing to others, trying to reach out to others, trying to improve the life of others, trying to make an impact for God in the lives of others. That men will see that God is good. That men will acknowledge the fact that truly this God is alive. He's alive. Because you make God real. Papa Rao told us that. When you show kindness, you make God real. Make God real. When you obey, you make God real. You make God real. Okay, this is the will of God. Fine. So how are we going to do it? Just before we go there, I need to say this. John 7:18. I think it's important to mention. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Says, he that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh the glory, his glory that sent him, the same is true, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Brethren, if you want to be pure, you want to be perfect, you want to be holy like he is holy, you must learn this principle. Give it to me in the Amplified. We must learn it. No, he that speaks on his own authority seeks to win honor for himself. Didn't Jesus say that? He said, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. So I... until an appointed time. And then he gave, the appointed time came Matthew 23. So he now gave it to them. He whose teaching originates with himself seeks his own glory. Where does your teaching originate from? It's teaching of God, though. You have to receive your teaching from somebody. If you say an angel spoke to you, you better be careful. Some people say angel spoke to me. Some people say it was an animal in the forest that spoke to them. You must have a spiritual father that speaks to you. There is no, where did you come from? Like they say, where you are? Did anybody drop from heaven? If we didn't drop from heaven physically, how are we going to do that spiritually? God doesn't break spiritual laws. Otherwise, Jesus would not have been born of natural parents. Why did God go through all that trouble? It's to tell you that there is a chain of command. There is a line of authority. There is spiritual parenting. And there is natural parenting. So you didn't come from them. So you cannot have your own teaching that originates with you. It must come from established spiritual fathers. And we can see the fruit of good treasure. We can see the fruit of their character. We can see the miracles of the lives that they have changed. And then we can see the glory of God and manifest the miracles that they've done. It's clear. Don't come with your own new doctrine. The thing is already laid out. It's in the word of God. But he who seeks the glory and is eager for the honor of him that sent him. Are you eager for the honor of him that sent you? Or when God honors them, you feel something biting you inside. If I had Jamie, I would have wished that was me. See, like Pastor Zoe said, if you see it there, quickly confess it. It's bad. It's wrong. It's not good. I repent. You have separated yourself from it. Amen. There's no point feeling bad. I mean, this is not the condemnation of condemnation. Instead, we need to separate ourselves from these things and purify ourselves. Amen. All right. Says, he is true, and there is no unrighteousness or falsehood or deception in him. This purity. This is the standard of purity God is looking for. So how are we going to do these things? Amen. Now we're spiritual kings and princes. Revelation chapter 1 verse 6. That is the way we were born. But like you know, in Galatians chapter 4 verse 1 to 2, just give it to me quickly. No. Even though you are born a king, you are not going to reign in your nappy. Hello? You're not going to reign in your nappy. You're going to be able to, you must learn to change your nappy, dress yourself, grow up, wash yourself, brush your teeth, do normal things. Spiritually now, you must learn to do those things. So you need to be under, though you are Lord of all, you are nothing different from a servant. I'm sorry to bust your bubble. You're nothing different from a servant. You're just like, because you are under sin. A servant is, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. So you are under sin. So you, even though this is your great potential, potential doesn't make impact. And like somebody was telling me, giving me a bond of an analogy, potential energy, you know, is good. But until your energy is kinetic, there is no impact. Thank you for that word, son. Until your energy is kinetic, we need kinetic energy in the church. Of the glory of God. Not potential, potential, potential. What are we going to do with potential? Next verse. But it's under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. So there's training. Somebody will tell you, king that you are, prince that you are, bend down, stand up, jump, go to the market, do this, stop that. Why didn't you ask me? But I'm a king. I have my own mind. No, you don't have your mind. You are under tutors and governors. You must learn that. Because that is the only way you are going to be able to go. You can't pick and choose training modules. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Quickly. Thank you. Give it to me in NIV. Thank you. All scripture is useful for teaching, rebuking. I can like, yeah, but it's good for rebuking. The Holy Spirit will rebuke you. Human beings will rebuke you and tell you to go and search yourself and talk to God. When you get to God again, God will rebuke you again and then show you now that, you see, that scripture is just only one scripture they gave you. He'll give you 3 or 4 and then you now really see the extent of your sin. And you now could go, and when you now say thank you, man, you are thanking you because what God said was worse than what they said. So they really love you, you know. You can understand this, you know. You really get it. So when you go back with thank you, you are thanking with understanding. Correcting and training in righteousness. Next verse. So that the man of God may be what? Thoroughly equipped for every good work. Message Bible. I love Message. It says it in a way that you can't forget. Every part of scripture is what? God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion. Oh, one day, eh? The rebellion is there. The satanic nature in our heart is there. Correcting our mistakes and what? Training us to live what? God's way. There's a man's way, and there's a God's way. You can't get to that crown doing it man's way. Amen. All right. And then we are shaped for the task that God has ahead of us. So how do we do this? Number one, meekness and lowliness of heart. Pastor Jerry was preached from there this morning, so I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to hit some things. I talked about Matthew 11. We talked about meekness and lowliness of heart is extremely important because it determines the sufficiency of the mercy and the grace of God, as it preached so beautifully in the morning. Now, what I want to bring out of that is this, that we need to use the blood frequently to maintain our right standing with God. Because it's when you are connected that you can effectively grow in all these areas and be well trained as God wants us to be. Amen. Look at 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. King James. Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. So there's a cleansing from all unrighteousness that keeps the spiritual connection between us and God free and clear. So we can receive life of God in an abundant measure, and that life can make us more godly. So that is, you see, this is the thing. If you get caught up at this level, you can be in a lot of activity and you are a clanging cymbal. You are a tickling cymbal. You are making noise. You are reading your Bible and you are sleeping and you don't understand this. Another time you are reading your Bible and it's as if God is talking to you. Even before you read your Bible, you know, God is already telling you. By the time you sit down, God will tell you, you are just having fun. What's happening? Connection. It's connection. Watch the connection. You really need to make sure that connection is there. And what we need to do is do this. You must always make sure that you overcome like David, the lion and the bear. Because if you don't overcome the lion and the bear, you will not stand Goliath. What is the lion? Lion is offense. Lion of offense. The bear of rebellion. You know, the word of God says so. The rebellion is already there. It's not until you do something. That is your default setting. You can now remove it. And it's as you are removing it that you now see, hey, it was there. But the thing is there, the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It means on a normal day, you can't know it. If God doesn't come to help you to say, this is that, this is this, with the word of God. Amen. And with oversight. So it's there, already woven into the fabric of our hearts. So what we do is that the word of God and the blood of Jesus Christ goes to clean the heart, the word of God to separate between soul and spirit and remove that thing. So you can see, so when the Bible talks about, you know, David overcome the lion, 1 Samuel 17, 34 and 36, it's very important to see this. First Samuel 34. 1 Samuel 17. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. Whose sheep was it? He didn't have his own sheep. Oh. He didn't start with his own sheep. He started with someone else's sheep. Alright. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. I could have left it now. Sheba Yokoni. If I have 250, I have 249. 99 or something like that. You can take that one. Don't come again, oh, you have taken the one that I've. No, if he comes once, what's he going to do? He's going to keep coming again. So you have to overcome. Say, I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, because he will arise against you. When you deliver the sheep, when you protect the sheep, he will arise against you. He said, I caught him by his beard and I smote him and slew him. Next verse. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the... This boy was in the army. He was in the army. You see, in all generations, there have been people in the army. But today, in this generation, it's going to be a company in the army. So, he was in the army. So, what he's talking here about, you know, the rebellion, unforgiveness, particularly offense. You know, when you easily get offended, the Bible says, great peace have they that love thy law, nothing shall offend them. Don't let the lion of offense take you off. Don't let the bell know you are easily hurt, easily angry, easily read meaning into people's situation, you know, and all that. Even if they are doing like that, my question is, why do you not choose something different to believe? Why do you have to believe that? It is what you believe that affects you. If you choose to believe, the Bible says, you know, you excuse them. Oh, she mistake, Nikoye. I forgive. Let's even say you choose, you saw them come with the dagger, and you decided that, somebody sent him. He didn't do it of his own free will. Father, I forgive him. That's how Stephen obtained a better resurrection. He forgave. He overcame the lion right there. See, mighty man is not always in prayer. He's in attitude. He's in your thoughts. Not allowing yourself to get things to really bog you down. Let it go. It's not worth it. Let it go. Let it go. When you do that, God fights for you. But when you don't do that, then you'll be fighting for yourself. And every time, fighting for yourself, I know it doesn't stop. And when Satan sees that, last card in the end, we'll just be, you know how he is now, playing it every time. That's how he is. Play it every time. Where is he going? Labor in the world. Labor in prayer. And they do it. And it's like a number. And as the press number, that will not be your portion in Jesus' name. Use the blood. Bible says he'll make you perfect in every good work to do his will. Amen. Next verse. Okay. Right. So don't be like John the Baptist too. He got offended. Went into rebellion. Talking against the king. Even the king did that. Which one is your own? Let's save the soul. And going to rebellion. Satan didn't stop until he took off his head. He didn't stop. Lean on the wall. Serpent bite him. The second thing is operate the other seven pillars of wisdom. Please give me seven pillars of wisdom. The first one is honesty and humility. But the other ones, prayer in tongues, prayer with travail, you know, one for communion and fellowship, one for battle prayer, very important. All the other instructions that we do, confession, meditation, doing God's word, fasting, and in the fasted life. Refuse to be at ease. Amos 6:1, show it up. Don't be at ease in Zion. If you are at ease in Zion, you are in a place where warriors are being made and you are at ease. You are asking for something that is not your portion. Don't be at ease in Zion. Be proactive. God is getting you ready for what is ahead. If you are able to master the minimum prayer, move on to travail. No, don't stay and stay in one no man's land. I'm okay here. No, you're already okay. Your one is telling you you're already okay. Go on to the next level. You grow by stretching yourself. Be proactive. Stretch yourself. That's the character of this army. It's a characteristic. You have to go to the next level. Stretch yourself to the next level spiritually. And in every other area of your life for that matter. Stretch yourself. Stretch yourself financially. Stretch. You know, nothing is convenient. You know, if you're going to wait until it's convenient, you wait a long time. No, grow and go to the next level. That's what God is saying. Third one, the word. We need God's word urgently. Because, you know, as kings, we need the word of God to keep our hearts diligent. Look at Deuteronomy 17. Give me verse 18 quickly as I begin to round up. 17, 18. Yeah. Well, and it shall be. Oh, give me verse 17 so we can understand the context. Thank you. Okay, fine. It's talking about the king anyway, that when you come to land, God gives you a king, which is not his perfect will, but when that you should not, he's telling him all the things he should not do. Then shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Then shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. Then he tells him how. Verse 18. And it shall be when he is seated upon the throne of his kingdom, and shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priest Levite. Stop. The king could afford to write it. Not everybody could afford to write it. So what about those that didn't have it? How did Joseph do it? Was he a king? Did he write it? Brethren, I'm just trying to tell you that Bible you are holding in your hand is a gift, though. Unto whom much is given, much is going to be required, though. It is so important that we understand that. Because he's saying, so that means that it was not everybody that could ask somebody to write him a copy. You can't just call his money. I'm going to use to pay for them to write it. No, next verse. And he shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. It's not when I feel spiritual, it's every day. Next verse. No, stay there. That he may learn to fear the Lord his God. So without this word, him reading it, he can't fear the Lord. He can't fear the Lord. The fear of God comes from the word of God. Working on your heart through the Spirit of God. Amen. It's very important. Next thing, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. Obey the Lord. So without the word of God, you cannot fear God. You cannot obey God, even though you are a king. See, next verse. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. So the word of God in your hand is supposed to help us fear him, help us obey him, and make sure our heart is not lifted up. Put it this way, give you a heart like God's heart, give you the Spirit of Christ. Bible says, he that does not have the Spirit of Christ is none of his. Romans 8:9. Make your heart a humble heart, a tender heart. The end result of this thing is for our hearts to become like the heart of God. That's the end result. That's where God is going. The majority of the weaponry and everything is operating through the heart. It's operating through the heart. So if there's anything wrong with the heart, you need to put to more strength. If the axe be blunt, you need more strength to cut the wood. But if your heart is sharp, sharpened by the word of God, and your heart is humble and the grace is sufficient, just a little word. Bible says, a soft tongue breaketh bone. Soft tongue is the power. The power is in the heart. And it's coming through the word. Initially, we hate God's word. That's the truth. Yes, now, Bible says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. All of us, not some. So that's where we start from. Okay? Because it corrects us. It doesn't give us the room of our own opinion. Doesn't give us the room of our explanation. Doesn't give the room of a reason. Just as you are wrong. Shut up. Repent. I've tried, when I'm trying to say, I accept I'm wrong, sir. But I just want to explain. Pastor say, In fact, I will just change. Just shut up. at best, they just shut up and listen. And I find that he's always right. When you go back deep, deep down, self-justification, pride, that's the bottom line of that little reason you want to explain. So you use like, but you need to understand the context, sir. You don't need to understand any context. Just accept the correction. So the word of God, it doesn't ask for any context. So many times, like, it doesn't make any sense to you in your carnal state. You need to grow up. The word of God is the greatest sense there is. So the first thing is it corrects us without any room for explanation. And then it challenges us to walk higher in divine love. Especially in this time of spiritual darkness and temptation, injustice, calamities, persecutions. Like Pastor Dave was preaching. You must understand, we need to go deeper into God's word to find the way of escape. I don't know what it is you're going through. Go into the word. Rejoicing in hope. What hope? The hope that the word of God creates when you spend time with it. But I said, this is my comfort in my affliction. Therefore, I have hope. It's the word. No, when you're going through, the word the devil wants to do is to worry and throw your hands up in the air and cry and not do anything in the word. No, instead of you, when you have done a little bit of that, because you are a human being, you will cry. When you wipe your eye and say, look, we are soldiers. We have to fight. Gird your loins! And sit down. Say, Lord, open my eyes. And right there is your way of escape. The instruction. And many times when you hear the word of God from the pulpit, it may not be for you today. Maybe for something coming 2 weeks, Wednesday down the road, 2 weeks. If you take what you are hearing seriously, you are ready. If you just think of it as, when they preach that, when they saw that, kilo sono, No, brethren, it's not so. Bible says grace and peace are multiplied through the word. It's through the knowledge that the word gives you that grace and peace are multiplied. So you need to take that grace and peace and walk on. Let grace not be in vain. We are in a season of grace. Grace and glory. But it's coming for those who walk uprightly. Psalm 84 verse 11. Alright? We're not going to turn there because we need to round up. Alright? But, you can put it up. But, you know, grace and Bible says, it those that walk uprightly. Grace is to walk in love. And it's the love that downloads the glory. You have an access card to the fullness of God. That's glory now. But it's the love, the length and the breadth and the depth and the height of the love of Christ. Right? So we need to walk in love. So love is the solution. I don't know what you are going through. You know, in your home, love. Whatever it is, at work, love. More love. It's not 50-50. If they can't manage 50, you do 60. If they can't manage, if all they can manage is 10, you do 90. And you don't complain. Shut up. It's the word of God. Then as they grow up, you can begin to reduce so that they can now come to 20, then you go down to 80. But no, that initial stretch makes you grow. That's what it means to grow. It doesn't mean that I can grow, it means to be able to exercise love in inconvenient situations, isn't it? Meekness and lowliness with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring. I didn't put those things there. He's using adjectives of stretch, forbearing. Oh no. Then endeavoring. Oh, tun jin. Oga. Oh, jin. Oh, fair. That's it now. You want the glory? Let it go up, down, everywhere. Length, breadth, depth, height. Then the glory comes. Amen. And number four. Learn to be charitable. Charitable. Learn to be charitable. James chapter 1 verse 27. Give it to me in the Amplified. Your love is not over until you show kindness. Don't be so spiritual. Don't let's be so spiritually, you know. And I'm really asking God to help me here, you know. Because, you know, your love needs to break down to a language people can understand. People can't understand all this jim sometimes. You know, they can't understand it, but they can understand. Take this one. So the day you don't give them and you say, I challenge you to do something more than this, why are you going on begging? They will know that this guy loves me. Amen. right? You make your love real. You know, some people are in your office there, and they're looking for somebody to explain to them what is going wrong with what they're doing. You know, they're people that are hurting, and there's nobody that they can talk to. You know, make your love come down. I know you have to pray once every 6 hours. I know that's very important. At every opportunity and in every temptation, you need to do all that. But at the same time, you need to be able to talk to people. Hello, how are you? Are you okay? You know, stay in tune with the people around you. Be charitable. All right? External religious worship. Religion as expressed in outward acts. That is what? Pure and unblemished in whose sight? In the sight of God the Father. Is this. That's making impact in the sight of God. Okay? To visit and help and care for the orphans and widows in their affliction and need. And to keep oneself unspotted and uncontaminated from the world. This is balanced. It's when you do all that, that people can understand. Thank God we have Living Mercy Voice Prayer today. Stay and wait behind. And pray. Yes, now. Every day you hear, you just say, this is my free day, this is my free day. It's not your free day. And do something with your life. Make impact. If you cannot, you know, be going to visit, at least you can pray. You can give. Do the one that you can. And then when you have done the best what you can, God will open the opportunity for you to do more. And then you grow. Remember, it's training. It's training. You must train yourself. You can't choose modules. You can't choose modules. You must be perfect and complete in all this. It's not, they're going to use one single yardstick to judge everybody. You won't say, you know, I have twins. You know, so I want to be in jail. Talk about it, the law. Era biscuit, I want to be. And wait for the meeting and pray. Amen. And children, you know, you can also play your part. You know, you may not have money to give, but at least you can join to pray. You can at least reverence God and give an atmosphere that is conducive for the prayers to take place. You know, and then you can also be generous to people around you. You know, it's very important. Nobody is too young. The earlier you start this thing, the earlier you finish. The curriculum. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Talk to God. We give God the praise. Lord, you alone deserve the glory. We worship you. Let's bow our heads, talk to God. Don't neglect this great salvation. Don't neglect it. Pastor David preached this morning, labor in life. Are you doing that? Labor in prayer. Labor in the word. Labor in love. The attitude of meekness and lowliness undergirds all those labors. Overcoming the lion and the bear. So that when you now fight Goliath, the Bible says, submit yourself unto God. Resist the devil. You can't resist the devil if your heart has all those things inside. Can't be effective. Grow in warfare, in strength, in understanding, in revelation, in understanding of times and seasons. Grow in diligence. Grow in unity. Grow in all these areas. Be exceedingly wise. Because you're part of that once in a lifetime, one of a kind army. This is your destiny. It is my destiny. Let nothing else be more important. Give God his place. I will have no other God but you alone. I will bow to no other God but you. I lay down all of my idols and the thrones I have made. And I give you your place, oh. One more time. I will have no one.
God but you alone. I will bow to no other God but you. I give myself as an offering to you,
holy acceptable
and pleasing unto you.
I lay them
at your feet
to honor you, my Lord.
Let's raise up our right hand to God and ask God for fresh mercy.
Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this afternoon, teaching me to understand the great destiny you have for me, to carry your glory, to be part of the Breaker Company that is excellent, that is well trained, that is prosperous, that is humble and kind. Heavenly Father, I ask for fresh mercy. Come and help me. I confess my sins, my shortcomings, and I determine afresh to take my place in this company, to be spiritually strong as I exercise myself in honesty and humility, fleeing rebellion and offense, and as I put on the whole armor of the love of God, showing charity to those around me, consistently bringing my fruit from afar. Help me, Father, to honor those in authority over me, to seek your glory and their glory and not my own, that I will be pure, holy and blameless in your sight. I thank you for establishing these things in my heart and in my life, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in tongues. Rada kase tom da hali ke kon tom de beke da babade baro papa kate kakan somaria red da ba pepanga red da matuban rekakaka baka tuaya yawa miyantanta raba papa kadu keno raba baba baba ba rede de bedi baba baba ba raba baba baba kata rakakande chakama raba pa jato bedalang rede de betwa raba katanto beke da baba tuaya haliya rade. Rone, Barina, Rene de Santam, Panke Coco, Beca de Bebe Tasta, Rakakako, Seca de Bebesa, Roneleta, Tobabea, Belelo, Barelie, Rene de Be, Zene de Besa, Jeca de Bebesa, Ronald, Berabio, Rene de Besa, Jeffrey Keco, Banca de Bamaya. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's put a hand on our body as we pray for our healing on the covering of our fathers. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, we confess our sins, and so we clean with the blood. In Jesus' name we have life. Under the covenant of our fathers, we stand on the premise of the Word of God, that Himself, the Word, took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses, so by His stripes we were healed. We thank you for that Word, that by faith, as we believe, is at work in our members. We say, Himself, who raised up Jesus from the dead, even the Holy Spirit, gives life to our mortal flesh, to every thought, every part of our body, from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet, so that life functions in our DNA, in every cell of our body, so our DNA functions error-free, flushing out sickness, disease, pain, ill health, and infirmity. Cause our immune system to function optimally by the power of the Holy Spirit. We live in divine healing and divine health by divine life. And so we keep the law of hygiene and natural medicine, of diet, of rest, and of exercise. And we fulfill our destiny in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in tongues. Jasei, wole le bantom de kakando, rapa papa zafre keko, rabakatea, jenamido, rale, benelet, regalebebet, rapaka, jekamida, rone, baro, bananato banto, belelono, redelebet, tobante, gelele, rabakatanto sea, jefre, ba, 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 rodebeto, bakate, jelelebeya, rodebet, tomani, rale, belele, rodelebe, Santa Barea, Rabba Catella, Geleleve Soma Pele, Rabba Bali, Yobolie, Roleve Toma, Regaleve, Yevario, Releve, Zelelevea, Relelevea, Beleleve, Seleveta, Releve Santa, Jeffrey Keko Bange de Beberia. In Jesus' name, amen. So we declare under the covenant of our fathers, we declare the Lord bless and keep you. Lord, make His face to shine upon you. Lord, lift up the light of His countenance upon you. May the Lord your God give you peace. Lord, grant you to be head and not tail, under covering above only and not beneath. Enable you to possess the gates of your enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, even the gates of death. So we declare you will live and you will not die. You declare the glory of God in the land of the living. You declare the glory of God in your life and in the work of your hands, in your seed. In the name of Jesus, we say your horn is exalted like the horn of the unicorn, and you will partake of the glory and the fullness of God. In Jesus' name, amen. And so the Lord puts upon us the mantles of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's share the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Tell them you are part of the army that makes great lasting impact. Part of the army that makes great lasting impact. God bless you.